The Obama budget. It includes a lot of zeros.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, it's the Morning Open. Hello, I'm Steve Chiatakis. The January effect, is it playing at a stock market near you? And the fix is in for Toyota. All that ahead. But first, where's Wall Street? Markets are up right now. The S&P up by a full percent almost. The NASDAQ up 0.75%. And the Dow higher now by 80 points at 10,147. European stocks are higher right now as well, anywhere from 0.5% or less. And stocks in Asia closed mixed today. The Hang Seng added more than 0.5%, but the Nikkei was flat in Japan. President Obama's fiscal 2011 budget will top $3.8 trillion. It's expected to drive the deficit to a new record. And we're getting analysis this morning from Sam Stovall, chief investment strategist at S&P Equity Research. He's with us live from New York. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, Steve.
I want to talk about this big deficit. $1.6 trillion is what's being estimated. At what point, Sam, does that become, hugely problematic for the markets?
Well, I think that's what investors are trying to wrestle with right now. The Obama administration wants to make sure that it does not make the same mistakes that occurred in the late 1930s, where they reduced stimulus very quickly and therefore ended up snuffing out an economic recovery, yet at the same time, by maintaining too much debt, then that causes our trading partners to have a problem and start selling their dollars.
And what does that mean going forward with the dollar? I mean, are people dumping the dollar in that case?
Well, longer term, it means over the next year or so that there will probably be continued pressure on the U.S. dollar. In the more recent future, however, I think investors are still very concerned about the debt levels in Greece and also wondering if there are going to be continued concerns with sovereign debt in Spain, Italy, Ireland, and the like, and these smaller companies and countries in Europe.
I want to talk a little bit about corporate earnings this morning. ExxonMobil reported a 23% drop in earnings today. That's five lower quarters in a row. Wasn't it, Sam, just a couple of years ago, they reportedly made the most money ever of any U.S. corporation? What's going on there?
Well, what's happening is that it's very tough to continue to show massive gains year in and year out, and also Exxon is having problems with its refining division. That's where most of the profits ended up being squeezed, but at least the return was better than Wall Street had expected.
Quickly, Sam, the January effect. As January goes, so goes the rest of the year. More than 5% off for NASDAQ in January, 3-4% for the Dow and S&P. What's gonna happen the rest of the year? You're a crystal ball, sir.
Oh, I think it's going to be a challenging year. It'll probably still be an up year. However, we think as much as 10% for the S&P 500.
All right. Sam Stovall joining us from New York. Thanks, Sam.
Welcome.
By the way, shares in Toyota tanked last week, 14%. That's $21 billion in market value. I say that because the carmaker announced this morning dealers will get the parts needed to fix sticking gas pedals. That's the cause for accelerated recalls and a stop in production and sales in the United States last week of eight popular models. Marketplace's Amy Scott is with us, live from our New York Bureau with the details. Good morning, Amy.
Morning.
So what's the fix?
Well, the fix involves installing a steel reinforcement bar in the gas pedal assembly, which the company says will prevent that pedal from sticking. Dealers will get the parts later this week, and in some cases they'll be working around the clock to try to fix the more than 2 million cars affected by this recall here in the U.S.
Now, Amy, Toyota and its dealers are losing a lot of money on this recall, I'm sure millions and millions of dollars. Is this repair going to be enough?
Well, I talked with Eric Merkel this morning. He's an analyst with AutoEconomy.com. He says the company also has to repair its image.
There's no question they're going to have to sell this to the American consumer. It's going to be more than just making the fix to the car, but they're also going to have to sell the consumer on the idea that this is actually a safe fix.
Toyota is trying to do that. Its U.S. president has been making the rounds on TV this morning. But when sales figures for January come out tomorrow, Merkel says we'll likely see a big hit to Toyota sales.
Marketplace's Amy Scott in New York. Amy, thanks.
You're welcome.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Monday, February 1st, 2010, at Marketplace.org. Florida is the riskiest state in the country for a property insurance company. That's why so many big national insurers have been scaling back. Well, today, State Farm of Florida will start dumping thousands of policies. And as Marketplace's Gregory Warner reports, other insurers see the move as an opportunity.
Insurance companies call them peaks, places prone to catastrophic weather, where insurers risk paying out a lot of claims.
Like a place where you get cyclones and a place where you can get landslides, that will be a peak. Florida is considered like a super peak.
Bob Lotain is with the Florida Association of Insurance and Financial Advisors. He says to keep State Farm in Florida, state regulators agreed to let the company boost its premiums and drop its riskiest policies, 125,000 of them.
Someone else's crisis is someone else's opportunity.
Bob Ritchie started American Integrity 5 years ago. That's one of dozens of small insurers that have cropped up in Florida as big insurance companies have pulled back.
We don't sit down and cross our fingers and toes and say, let's just get lucky one more year. We clearly have strategic planning for when the wind blows and when it doesn't blow.
Ritchie says American Integrity manages risk by charging higher premiums and keeping overhead low and covering only a slice of the super peak that is Florida. I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
Now, within the president's new budget is more than $700 billion in military spending. Among the items included there, the controversial Joint Strike Fighter from Lockheed Martin. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports there are some concerns the aircraft won't live up to its billing.
The Joint Strike Fighter is being touted as the new IT plane, designed for all branches of the military. Winslow Wheeler is a defense industry analyst at the Center for Defense Information. He's also one of the plane's most vocal critics. He says the Joint Strike Fighter is just too complicated and expensive, and the whole $300 billion program should be scrapped.
It's the most complex avionics ever devised by mankind. The writing of the software is not even complete, let alone the testing.
John Pike is director of globalsecurity.org. He says the Joint Strike Fighter is just experiencing normal growing pains.
Airplanes are sort of like kids growing up. They go through phases in which they don't look very promising and they look like they're more trouble than they're worth. But usually they tend to grow up and straighten out and fly right.
There is one thing Wheeler and Pike agree on. The plane's cost was wildly underestimated. They say that's because lawmakers wouldn't have approved the Joint Strike Fighter if they knew its true cost. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
The Tea Party protest movement is set to hold its first political convention on Thursday in Nashville, Tennessee. But grassroots gotten pretty pricey. Tickets are $550. A Sarah Palin banquet will set you back $350. Brett Neely reports it's turning some people off.
Minnesota Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann dropped out of the Tea Party convention late last week. She worried that attending a for-profit event could violate House ethics rules. Other Tea Party supporters also backed out.
You know, we're concerned about the appearance of profiteering, exploitation of the grassroots movement. Simple as that.
Philip Glass heads the National Precinct Alliance, a Tea Party group.
The majority of the people, they're not going to attend a function where the ticket price is over $500.
Some Tea Partiers also worry that the Republican Party is taking over the movement. No surprise to political scientist Jack Pitney at Claremont McKenna College.
The Republican National Committee has had some difficulty raising money, and where other people might see Tea Party demonstrators as an exercise of democracy, the RNC may see a profit center.
The convention's organizer told Fox Business News that he simply wants to break even. In Washington, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
Bankers, regulators, and finance chiefs ended talks at the World Economic Forum with a big meeting over the weekend in Davos, Switzerland. They were looking for agreement on some global financial regulations. Marketplace coverage of the events in Davos continues with Stephen Beard this morning, who reports leaders didn't make a whole lot of headway.
The meeting was prompted by President Obama's plan to curb bonuses and crack down on risky bank practices. The fear is that if the restrictions are not universal, they won't work. Banks will just relocate to countries with a lighter regulatory regime. Executives from half a dozen major banks attended the meeting. They agreed on the overall need for global rules, but they didn't seem too keen on actual curbs. After the meeting, Joseph Ackerman, head of Deutsche Bank, spoke out. He said it's vital not to hamper the banks.
We need a strong financial sector to cover the real issues which are ahead of us, namely unemployment, secondly poverty, global imbalances, many other things.
Britain's finance chief, who was also at the meeting, warned against the dangers of dithering. He said we must act quickly. If we don't, we may lose the momentum for reform. In Davos, Switzerland, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Hey, check out our website, too, how we covered Davos. It's at our marketplace.org section over there where it says the Davos, the daily Davos, as a matter of fact. And finally, in Britain, a member of parliament says people who shake hands too hard should be charged with assault. Paul Flynn says handshakes are unhygienic. Germ-spreading intrusions. On his blog, he rails against those who shake vigorously. Bone crushers, he calls them. Oafs and insensitive dolts. Sounds like someone needs a hug. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.